Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping that 2-0 victory over Querétaro at the Estadio Azteca. We're going to be looking ahead into the Jornada 4, even though we're yet still to play the Jornada 3, as we have a doble jornada in the mix, as América is going away to the border town of Ciudad Juárez. And, of course, plenty of transfer rumors to talk about. And those of you joining us to watch and talk and also, you know, get a chance at answering a bonus question for our trivia, well, you guys are in the right place at the right time. So let's get started here and let's talk all things Club America. And joining me today to do so is none other than New York residents, AJ and Christian Rosendo. Gentlemen, how's New York?
It's been horrible, like in the weekend. Had snow, it was icy conditions, you know, yeah, it's slush, and now we just have this weekend a whole bunch of rain that's coming down. So it's cold and, you know, just cloudy in general.
Okay. All right. Well, Christian, can you attest to that?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not been the best of weather. Hopefully, we get through this coldness. Even though I prefer the winter season over the summer, I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of it. So let's hope we kind of, you know, get through the month and then move on to like nicer weather, spring weather.
Okay, no, yeah, I agree. I like that. Alrighty then. Well, gentlemen, we're going to be talking to Club America and a lots and lots to talk about. AP Jr. asking whether or not Cowboy Dan is going to be joining us. Unfortunately, he is not going to be available tonight. He is a little bit busy doing other things. It is election year, so he's going to be running around the newsroom going crazy, but he does send his regards to all of you, the listeners, so he wish he could be on here, but unfortunately, he cannot. Chris Rivera saying, today. What's up, boys?
Huh? You're outnumbered today.
Yeah, I'm outnumbered. Chris Rivera, unfortunately, would be what would balance the scales here, but unfortunately, he's unable to do so, but he's able to watch us, so shout out to Chris, and then, of course, comment right here, I like planes. Love that name, by the way. Love that name. Just absolutely amazing. Saying, didn't want to see Brian go. I don't think me or Christian wanted to, especially me. I think I've been one of the few that believed in him from the get-go. So it is unfortunate. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about possible reinforcements, ? Or whether or not there won't be reinforcements. So we'll get you guys up to date with all that. Plenty to talk about, plenty to kind of go through here. But first of all, for those of you joining us that are here to answer the trivia question, I'm not going to keep you guys any longer. I know that you guys want to get jumpstart into it. So I just want to say thank you to all of you guys who have joined so far in the trivia. And to do so, we're going to be bringing out more bonus questions. So make sure you guys follow us on Twitter to keep up to date with everything going on in our trivia. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm posting in the comments section the link to where you guys can go and answer the bonus question. And then it's a really good one, actually. It's really fun. It's actually, who is the last Brazilian to play for Club America? Gentlemen, now don't spoil it if you do know the answer. All right. I know we talked about this before, I think, AJ. So don't mention it, but it should be a good one. Answer it if you guys know the question. The link's right there. Who is the last Brazilian to play for Club America? All right. Nice little bonus question for you guys. And hopefully, best of luck. Hopefully, you guys get all those points and scale above in the table and whatnot. Before we jump into the men's side of things, I think it's just only fair that we've maybe recap briefly about the ladies' side of things since we haven't really spoken much about it. So, AJ, I'm going to give you a platform because I saw the ladies demolish Santos last night in what was a terrific game from the ladies. So talk to me, how has their season been so far? I know they're only 4 games in, but talk to me, you know, what's going on in the world of Lady Aguilas?
Want to start off with like the transfer window. So we had like 6 departures from the team, so those players are Harry Hamraoui, Alison Gonzalez, Eva Gonzalez, Monica Rodriguez, Desiree Manso, and Amanda Perez. The big name out there, honestly, would be Alison Gonzalez. She ended up going back to Tigres, so it leaves a lot of big sour taste to a lot of America Feminine fans. So for me, I mean, it is what it is. She's going back to the team where it all started for her. So, I mean, best luck to her. But everyone else, I mean, other big names like Kelly Hamraoui, we did bring her in from Europe, from PSG, hoping that, you know, she would be able to settle in. But unfortunately, she just seems to just never, like, really get herself situated with the team, like, in the first place. She just looked out of rhythm, didn't understand what the team was asking of her. It looked like she didn't really have a touch on the ball, really just couldn't, you know, just couldn't do much to contribute to the team. Then you have players like Ava Gonzalez, Monica Rodriguez. They both went to FC Juarez, so the best of luck to them, especially Monica Rodriguez. She's been with the team for the very beginning of the Copa MX Feminine days, 2017. So, two-time champ. Wishing her the best luck. Same with Ava Gonzalez as well. One of a fan favorite at America Feminine. She'll be missed. Wishing her the best luck at FC Juarez. Then we have players like Destiny Manza and Amanda Perez, both going to Pachuca in the off-season. So, it's unfortunate that we lost bench depth, because some of those players like that, you know, they really could help the team out, but we had to let go. And what I would assume America Fit would bring more players in, but unfortunately we've only brought two players in actually from the transfer window, that being Diana Martin from the University of Central Florida, United States, and Mariana Cadena from Rayadas. Maria Cadena would just be reinforcing the defense for the team, but she's trying to pretty much get herself back to the rhythm things. You know, she did make her derby in the first Jornada against Atlas, but did look shaky. Did end up causing us to concede a goal against Atlas. But so far, I mean, she's been getting missed, trying to get herself back to the rhythm of things, especially now since, you know, she's played for Real like all of her entire career and now playing at America. And so it's going to take some time for her to get herself assimilated with the team. And then next would be Diana Martin coming from University of Central Florida. She's a winger. Really, really pacey. She's able to take on defenders one-on-one. She really has a look at goal, is able to really exploit the other team's defense on the wing by being able to take on players. Everyone looks at her being that she could potentially be, you know, potentially another Scarlet Comeback. That's the same thing we mentioned, like, with Destiny Manso. We would hope that someone could really fill out that area on the left wing or right side or the right wing as well, considering we haven't really had a good winger on this team since Scarlett left. She's left a huge void for America Feminine. And then in terms of like how the games have been so far, first four games of the season, we beat Atlas 2-1 with goals from Nati Malion and Sarah Lubert. We drew 1-1 against Necaxa, which was a really poor performance, I have to say, in Atlanta, make any second degree as well. Just wasn't great. We did get a really nice golazo from Aureli Castillo, but they just weren't really able to convert the rest of their chances in. Then we have our 4-0 win against Tijuana, which was much needed, with goals coming from Mia Suazua, Nati Maleon, Katy Martinez, and Kana Luna. And then most recently, as Ivan mentioned, a 5-0 win at Torreon against Laguna. Patrick Katy Martinez, a goal from Mia Suazua, and then Andrea Perea finally getting her first goal for America Feminine. So all in all, struggling a bit in the first two games of the season, but now I feel like the team is starting to understand how to score goals again. Really getting a lot of chances, which is good, but the team still needs to figure out how to convert a lot of those chances, especially in the first half, into goals for this team. But so far, with the results we having in the last two games, which is 9 goals in the game, great to see for the team. And I'm hoping to see, you know, for the rest of the season going forward, that this team just converts all their chances into goals. I would love to see. And next game we got upcoming would be against Leon this Friday. At the Azteca, actually, because they must have been playing at Coapa, because they're going to do the whole remodeling with the Estadio Azteca, so they could really only have Sassuolo and America at the stadium. But it's nice that the women's team is finally going to get their chance to play at the Azteca this season before America and America Feminine will be having to play at another stadium potentially this season going forward.
All right, nice little update right there from AJ regarding the ladies. We'll keep an eye on them, of course, and make sure you guys keep an eye out on our Twitter as AJ keeps you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of our Lady Aguilas. Tweets the games, covers them, shares the goals, the gifts, and everything. So make sure you guys stay up to date on our Twitter as AJ does a wonderful job covering the ladies. So thank you so much, AJ, and thank you for the report as well. Look, hopefully, fingers crossed, another final for these ladies, right?
Much needed, and hopefully this time you know, get the win, because I really want that other chip, want the third ready.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, gentlemen, moving from the ladies and on to what happened at a very rainy Estadio Azteca, Christian, on Saturday night. Andre Jardinet gave us the big surprise and put out his star-studded starting 11. We were out here talking about it last week, thinking we were going to get an A/B/C team. I mean, Christian, you talked about it specifically, saying that you kind of dissected his words post-game against Tijuana, saying that he wants to give these guys as much time, as many weeks as he can squeeze in. What do you think happened in between that conversation that we had up to Saturday that made him think, you know what, we're going to put all our starters out there?
I have no idea. That made me look like I don't know what I'm talking about, basically.
yeah.
But it was a nice surprise, though, to kind of get the leaked information that we were going to go with the starter 11 at the Azteca. And I think one of the reasons may have to do is it is one of the last times the fans are going to see the team at the Azteca. I think they're only going to play one or two more times there, and then that'll be it for about a year and a half. So, you know, I get that's part of the reason, but I also think that, you know, he wants to get the team back into rhythm. You can kind of see, like, in the first maybe 15, 20 minutes of the game, we looked a little bit out of sync. We didn't look like we were connected pretty much well. Not reading each other's movements, misplaced passes here. The shots were kind of a little bit off, but as the game went on, though, you kind of thought we just kind of fell back in place. We got comfortable with each other, got comfortable with the game, grew in the game, and then we just started looking like our old self again. But in regards to the lineup, though, I mean, it's perfect, right? That's the championship lineup. Just you know, swap out Layun, obviously, and then put in Kevin, right? And then I think it becomes a little bit of a better lineup when you consider going on the offense. Right? I think Kevin does provide a little bit more of the offensive little coordination with Zendejas. So hopefully, you know, you can see both of them kind of link up this season and provide some interesting things going forward, right? But yeah, listen, it was a nice surprise. I was happy to see our boys play, and happy that we got the W.
Muted.
My bad. I'm almost just get carried away. No, you're right, though. I think it was nice being able to see that team again start building some traction. Obviously, you could tell that these guys were a little rusty, trying to get back into the rhythm of things. First half was a little bit of a drag. And I think AJ, you even kind of messaged in the group chat at halftime with like Z's. Because it was not the most enthrilling,
though, right?
Although was it? Because I think a lot of people saw this and automatically thought, oh, like we're gonna get goals galore. Like we even said it, like when we were giving our prediction, like, oh yeah, like 1-0, 2-1. But if the A team plays 4-0, 5-0, like we were expecting this team to blow Querétaro out of the water.
What did I say? 2-0?
You said 2-0, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I play the track again, you said if the A team goes, it's 4-0.
Did I say it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think we need to rewind that. I think I said if the A team plays, we get to it. But we'll rewind it. Chris, confirm, please.
Yeah, Chris can go back and you know, confirm that for us. But yeah, it's. I think we all had that expectation just because we know what this team is capable of. And then, again, no discredit to Querétaro, but you look at the side and you think, it's Querétaro. Like, you're thinking, blow them out of the water. But it's good to see that we kind of tapered our expectations down at halftime and said, okay, you know what? These players are coming back, trying to get some rhythm, getting back into the swing of things. And then, of course, you make a couple of substitutions, things pan out. And a good result. I think second half is exactly what we expect the América side to be, right? And the second goal, I think it defines perfectly what this Jardinet América side is, right? It's a very good team that plays with the ball, understands each other's movements, is not greedy, understands kind of how to finish a play and what it is that is being asked of from defender to offense. So should be hopefully a much more better games in the upcoming days, right? We have Juarez and the Necaxa both away games, which we'll talk about that. Those are tough in just in general, but still should be a fun and interesting matchups whenever we get to those moments. Let's see. Ricardo saying Jonathan Beckenbauer Dos Santos is having his career second wind. I think that was interesting that he played center back for like a good chunk of the second half. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
It was definitely odd. Sir.
The fact that like...
Odd, but...
Oh, no, yeah, go ahead, on. No, I was just going to mention just Jonathan Dos Santos has been impressed. Like, I just remember us like first signing. Everyone's like, really? The guy that we signed, you know, could think what happened with his other brother, and we're just like, he's gonna flop again. And then I feel like after us, after in the season that we won the Campeonato, just turned things around, and that contract is just gained. He's kind of now like proving a lot, Mike, and he's just run that he is that guy, that play that we really need in midfield to help improve, just improve overall. He's just been doing a really good job. The fact being that he was one of the most passing players in that entire game. We'd have like 115 passes made and 109 of them being accurate. 95%. Ridiculous in that. And how Christian meant that him just playing at center back, like, yeah, that's odd, but like really impressive as well from someone who's always played in midfield entire career.
As Harine was making these substitutions, I just thought the disrespect that he's throwing towards Querétaro, that he's just like, you know what? It's fine. I'll play with one center back and two fullbacks. And you guys just kind of figure it out from there. But no, I mean, no discredit to Querétaro again, but still, like, they didn't put Jonathan in a situation where you thought, oh, okay, this is going to be dangerous. And even if they had an opportunity, I think we all felt comfortable in Jonathan being able to kind of produce something there. I want to ask a question here because Jonathan is, like we all mentioned, he's been sensational. He has been exactly what America has needed, right? That kind of stopper in between defense and midfield. A little bit of what Guido Rodriguez used to be for America. Right. Who, and I know that this paints as a crazy question, but who in your mind has had the much more better effect in that role? Would you say it was Guido Rodriguez, or would you say it's Jonathan Dos Santos? Because I would argue that Jonathan gives you a little bit better of a midfield control. Guido gives you a little bit more of an attacking presence because Guido scored goals. Jonathan really isn't known for scoring goals, but I think what Jonathan provides is a lot of safety in the back and knowing that you're going to be playing through him and know that the pass is going to get there. Guido as well, very good on the ball, very good at times defensively, but you knew going forward, he was your catalyst.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's kind of what the big difference is between them. You kind of have that extra element added when Guido was playing. So you kind of always knew that maybe you get this one or two long shots. But I think I remember the goal against Tijuana, who just rips it from like 40 mm-hmm. yards out, right? But that's the unexpected surprise you got from Guido. While Jonathan Dos Santos is very solid in the back in recent times, I think just Guido, just when he provided that extra element, I think that made teams have to worry about another man and just become that much more different.
I think it's the fact that Jonah has the, I guess, luxury to play alongside of Hidalgo, and Guido not necessarily had that, right? I'm not discrediting Mateus Uribe, but I think, you know, Hidalgo carries a lot on, you know, that.
On the creative end, I think so.
Exactly.
Well, Uribe did have goals too. Hidalgo doesn't really produce many goals.
It'll be interesting to come back a couple years from now and maybe kind of, you know, have this argument of which squad was better, right? The 2018 or the 2020, 23 squad, right? It'll be a fun debate to have. It's too close to have it right now. 2023?
No, I would say 2018.
2018. That's interesting. That's really interesting. There's very good arguments to be made for both. But I think it's still a little too early. That's why I'm kind of saying, okay, let's take a step back. Maybe a couple of years down the road, we can talk about this. Because there's a lot of similarities in both squads, if you think about it. So it's, again, an interesting debate to have. But down the road, I'm sure we can have it. Ricardo saying something I've never really seen him say before. He says, you're right, Ivan. It's definitely a crazy question. Guido was America's best player every time he stepped on the pitch. Except when he had to take a penalty. So,
yeah. Let's not bring that up.
No. Absolutely. We have a comment from G saying definitely not this 2023 squad would mess up the 2018 one more. I'm saying it's there's a lot of debate to be had here. I think either way you can pull either way, right? But jumping, I'm telling you, it's an interesting debate to have. But I think down the road you need to have, and not so much close to right now, because there's you can't really be as biased because this squad is what's carrying at the moment.
True.
And carrying at the moment, it was interesting to see how things panned out for America against Querétaro. Bringing on Richard Sanchez, I think, was the absolute right call to be made right there, Christian. I don't know if you agree. It kind of gave it a little bit more of a catalyst in the midfield. Added a little bit more of a pressure going forward. I don't know. How would you describe his inclusion into the game?
Oh, yeah, of course, impactful. I think Richard Sanchez has been probably the most patient man ever in this past year. Obviously taking a little bit of a backseat ever since Jonathan got into form, right? He had to take a little bit of a step back, not really be on the field as much. But when he does go on the field, you notice him right away, right? Whether it be from creating or taking that long shot or, you know, scoring golazos like this, basically sealing the final for us just about a month ago. He's always there. He's always important, right? And I'm happy that with this performance, hopefully going forward, he'll be considered more for 11 roles. Whether it be intimate departures or just because he's earned it, right? And I think like I said, that when he steps on the pitch, you just notice that he's a problem.
Did you guys see on Twitter that a lot of people were crediting Kevin Alvarez for the goal and not actually Richard? I don't know if you guys saw that.
Hit off, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it. Kevin was like, no, it hit me. Interesting. But yeah, like you mentioned, I think Richard just absolutely gets his credit when it's more than well deserved. And it's crazy to think that you have a player like that on your bench, AJ, right, but yet still can't make the starting 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's a luxury to have, really, at this point.
Of course.
Yeah, no. Just whenever you really need that difference maker, Richard's like right there at your disposal. So if you need like a guy that really like needs to score like a golazo, which we see every time for Richard, he just doesn't score normal goals. This dude just scores like golazo, like bangers, like from 30, 40 yards out, like as like no one else can do it. And I feel like that goal was like much needed for a make start. Like, all right, now let's start scoring more goals at that point. And you see that second goal, you finally get like that sigh of relief. You're just like, all right, we got ourselves another goal now. But for me, Richard definitely was a difference maker for this team in the second half. Feels much needed.
Absolutely. And then we saw a couple more substitutions, right? Kind of man for man, like for like. Chicote comes in again, right? Second game under an America jersey. Gets a lot of boos, which was, again, another hot topic on America Twitter. Some people saying probably shouldn't boo him. Other people saying it's fine. Let him get booed. There's a certain sense of like, okay, you know where he's coming from. You understand why he's getting booed. Other people are like, you know what? Let's just chill. He's here now. So Philip Ortiz asks, how do you guys think Chicote is doing right now? And also follows up with another question saying, why did America get Chicote though? I'm still confused with that signing. And quickly, just to kind of answer Philip's question here, we got him because we needed backup in that left back position. And rather than spending, correct me, how much did Monterrey spend for Arteaga, AJ?
Arteaga, like 8 mil. I think it was like, it was reported like, what, 4.5 mil, but like, it was going like 6 million or something. I could be so wrong. I could look.
So instead of America spending upwards to maybe $7 million for a left back, they went and they got someone on the market that was free and that has played in this league and that is known to be at least semi consistent. I say that word loosely, but you know what you're getting out of him, right? And so I think America saw the opportunity to bring in someone like Chicote, who was on the radar prior to his arrival to Chivas, and thought, not spending much money, his wages are not going to be absurd, let's just go out there, get him, put in his clause, you know, that he has to behave. And I think, Christian, we went over this so much on that podcast when we talked about it. It's kind of a win-win situation if things pan out.
If it pans out, right? But I'm still on the fence where I think left back, well, just personally for me, I thought left back and right wing were the two positions we needed to upgrade this offseason. You have an aging player who probably at the end of this contract will not renew with América, right? At least that's what you expect. And then all of a sudden you hear the announcement that he's renewing 6 more months, right?
But so, that man's on a six-month leash like crazy. So,
we'll save that for around May, right? And then you have his backup who was supposedly going to be one of the best defenders in the league and just didn't really turn out to be that way. Managers lost confidence in him and he just really has them in the same Chava Reyes, right? So either of them weren't really a reliable kind of option. And I was hoping that América would kind of realize that and bringing someone to kind of push Fuentes and then maybe push him out as the season went on. And if it was at Thiago or was someone else, it didn't really matter. I just wanted someone better than Chicote. Like I said, it's just a bet. It's a low risk, high reward bet that I don't think we needed because there was other players we could have filled that position with if you wanted to go that route. Like we all said, Mau Reyes, I think that's literally the perfect low risk, high reward kind of bet. He's already there. Don't have to do nothing. Just promote him. Give him minutes, give him time. We saw a glimpse of him against Manchester City and against these European teams, against these friendlies, and he's not getting any looks, right? But on the business side of it, though, of course, I understand all of it, right? Like, it makes perfect sense. It's just not the way I would have went just for that route because, like I said, our defense hasn't been the best in recent years, and if you had a chance to upgrade it, I think now would have been the perfect time. Maybe they'll revisit the subject in the summer, but I thought they could have done something a little bit better in this market.
It could be one of those things where you just kind of test the waters up to now and then summer. Because again, this January transfer window hasn't really, and I'm talking not just Liga MX, but just kind of globally, hasn't really been as prior January transfer markets. Not a lot of movements going on, at least not a lot of big names moving around either. So it just kind of makes sense that you kind of fill a gap, see how it plays out for the next 6 months, revisit it again in summer if things don't pan out, or if they do, maybe tweak things around, but still. Interesting. With that being said, AJ, I don't think he had the best game either. Huh?
It hasn't panned out recently, though. I think in all the games he's played, he's looked mediocre at best.
Yeah. There's
unfortunately.
Our I don't know if you guys follow him, Victor Sila. The one that does the recaps every day. Yeah. I love that, man. Shout out to him. He does an amazing job. He put the clip where Chicote just crosses the ball, but this is the most terrible cross you've ever seen. Just so flat, doesn't really go anywhere. Doesn't even get past like two Querétaro defenders.
It's funny you mentioned that though, because I think I remember StatKicks posting a graphic and the crossing ability for Chicote was like all the way at the bottom. And it just, in my head, I'm like, well, that doesn't help us at all because Chava Reyes really can't cross like that anymore. And he used to. Luis Fuentes really doesn't do it as much. And now you're bringing in someone who can't even do it as well. It's just, like I said, certain aspects of this signing just don't make sense to me. Maybe just me personally. I just don't like the guy. I just don't like the signing. So I'm trying to find things to nitpick at. But it just doesn't make sense, these little things. But like everyone is hoping, I think it'll plan out in the future. Hopefully, maybe with more minutes, we'll see better performances. But like I've reiterated before, I think his four performances we've seen from him have been just mediocre at best.
You know something that also doesn't make sense, AJ? Why América continues to cross the ball consistently? And that was what's frustrating me the most in the first half. Now that you're talking about Chicote's crossing and everything, this América side is not built for a crossing tactic, right? Your wingers don't get to the byline and then cross it in. Your wingers, you know, they go out wide, they spread the defense, and then you kind of build 1-2 passes and cut the line. It just didn't make sense. Like, we don't have Peter Crouch in the box. Like, you have Henry. He's great in the air, but he's got 2-3 defenders at times. You're not overloading that box with attackers, right? You're not Diego Valdez. You're not seeing Fidalgo. You're not seeing all your midfielders going rushing in there. Why? Why just revert to crossing? It made no sense to me whatsoever in the first half.
We play through short passes and through balls. We'll always do that. I'm not understanding because, like you mentioned, we ain't got a lanky like 6'7" forward up front that could just hit the ball with ease. Nah, you got a player in Quinhos where not really a natural nine. He's a winger, so he's never gonna see a guy like him trying to head the ball. Mitchell Hendy, he's good in the air, but just like we really don't have the players that really should be crossing the ball. I mean, like to reiterate Christian's point too, but actually got on. This dude had like, I think he had 2 out of 8 long passes, 1 out of 3 crosses. Just like you cannot cross. We have no guys that really cross balls, like, or where they attempt to cross it. It doesn't connect with anyone, though. Like, it just ends up going off of a Querétaro defender, or and make a player would get it, but just like it doesn't lead to a goal. They're just gonna hold it and either try to then pass it right back out again and see if they can try to do a through ball or a short pass to someone else. But just, you know, if it's not gonna work out the first, second, or third time, what makes you think that the fourth or fifth time is gonna work this time? It's not gonna work. Just do what you've been doing best and just playing the ball on the ground, not in the air. We don't really have the forwards to really being able to work in the air to try to score headers. It's just not gonna happen with this team, especially where it seems like every time we're crossing the ball, there's like 3 guys that are like always right there. I've like maybe when there's only like a Hendy in the box or Quiñones, it's just not gonna pan out well for them. Even if they do match, they either get their hand on the ball, it just goes off target regardless of the awkward position that they're in when they're just surrounded by that many defenders.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was most frustrating to me. And I think I even mentioned to you guys at halftime, I was like, stop crossing the ball. And they didn't. And they reverted to what they know, which is, you know, quote unquote, joga bonito and playing fast balls, 1-2 passes, breaking the lines like that. And I mean, that's how you get the second goal, honestly. Very well worked movement of the ball and pay dividend. You score a goal. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the players are gearing up. They're building a more confident and they're kind of getting back into the rhythm of things. And I think it was a good display at the end of the day. 2-0. You kind of just chuck it up and you say, you know what? 3 points secured. Call it a day. Kind of end the night like that. I mean, not really much more to say in that. No, Christian?
No, yeah, definitely. Obviously there's things to work on, right? It's just with game time, right? You'll get back to the old championship caliber team that we all know and love. I think something we need to point out too is that for the next game, but we're sure we'll get into it a little bit. Just take better shots. I think we had 7 shots, only 2 of them went on target. Obviously the 2 of them that were on target were the goals. So it just, that's the proof that everything else just wasn't near target, right? So we can kind of fine tune that. I think we should be, you know, getting higher scoring chances. And, you know, we'll see this team shine back to normal, right? I think this is the perfect week to do it. We have 2 winnable games. No disrespect, obviously, to our opponents, but these are games we should be winning, whether they're home or away. I think these are the perfect games to kind of get us back to that game rhythm and that championship caliber esque place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you made a very good note of that. And we'll talk about that in just a second whenever we talk Juarez away. But yeah, that pretty wraps it up. That's America versus Querétaro. Second to last game in the Estadio Azteca for the next 2 years. That's wild in its sense. Last game is actually going to be against Monterrey. So that's going to be interesting.
That should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. It'd be a spectacular event. But yeah. Absolutely amazing. Let's move on and let's move forward into the next topic, which is, I know a lot of people talking about this, is the fact that we have some transfer rumors and transfer updates. Christian, as of right now, as we're recording Tuesday, January 23rd, it is about a 90% chance from what I'm looking and what I'm seeing, 90% chance that Brian Rodriguez is leaving to Fiorentina. So
90% chance is very generous.
Very generous?
That's very generous.
What would you give it?
Like a 98 right now.
Yeah, no, there's very little wiggle room for this thing fall and collapse.
Drastically bad has to happen right now to order for this deal to fall. And just to add on to that, he did not travel with the team to Juarez also, so he will not be in the match day squad for that game tomorrow night. Which all pretty much just confirms that he's probably just finishing up whatever he needs to do. Finalizing the transfer, but it does seem like we are losing a left winger in Brian Rodriguez, who didn't play for most of the second half of the season. But I think his presence on the field as a super sub, I guess, and for the most time being a starter also, will be missed. I think that he provided qualities that I don't think we have in other players. And it just seemed like he always just came close with just that one goal when he had kind of, you know, open the floodgates or kind of just break a deadlock. It seemed like he was the one to kind of do it. Like I said, though, I think it's going to be, we're going to miss him. Maybe not to a point where, like, we're going to be like, oh my God, like, our season's doomed. Like, I don't think it goes that far, but I think a presence like that is needed on the team. And I don't think anyone else can kind of fill that role. Hopefully people can grow into the role, but it's definitely going to be a loss for me.
You know, the worst thing about it is that André Jardiné's system takes a huge, huge loss with Brian Rodriguez leaving. And I say that because he is the most natural winger that fits him perfectly to his role and to his style. And that's why you saw him start so much in the first half of last season, because it worked so perfectly, because he understood the assignment. It was grab the ball, take on players, you know, open up the channels, open up the wings. And he did that perfectly. And so you're right, Christian. We don't have another player that is good like that. Quick on his feet, can take on, is a dribbler, can kind of get himself out of tight situations. Whenever there's like one or two players marking him, you kind of get the sense of, all right, he's just one little trick from getting away from his mark. And it opens up space for América to then run into. It's just he worked perfectly under this André Jardiné system. And you're right, we don't have someone like that. Quiñones can be that player, but sometimes he drifts too much in the middle, and I think he gets lost in there. So you need someone like Brian, someone that can consistently stay out wide, stay to the wing, play a little bit to the touchline, and kind of take on players. And it's unfortunate that you lose him this close to the end of the transfer window. We're talking 8 days at this point.
Eight days.
And I don't know if América has a plan B. I don't know if América has an eye on a player or two. Gibran even came out to say, we might not get another player.
Right.
So
yeah, no, the cryptic tweet was that it might not be. So someone asked him if we were doing, if América was looking for a Mexican replacement or someone in the forward market. He said it's probably neither of them, like meaning that we're probably not going to be going out to get a replacement. I mean, on one part, obviously, we're upset because we need a replacement. In my opinion, I think we should be going out for one. But then also, you kind of play devil's advocate. It's like, well, you have 8 days and knowing Bayern's just track records with little time and transfers doesn't all really pan out, right? And then we're just going to be upset whoever he brings in because he's probably not going to be the ideal candidate that we all want. So I guess really can't win in this situation. I think you just kind of hope for the best and hope that Cabecita or Chava Reyes or whoever you put on that left wing side, other than Quiñones, obviously, can kind of rise up to the challenge whenever the team needs it, because throughout the season, there are going to be those matches where you are going to be in deadlock situations, right? And you are going to need someone to kind of break the lines and kind of provide that spark. And like I said, I don't have that much confidence in Cabecita and Chava to do that. But like I said, I hope they grow into it because, you know, we're going to need it.
Yeah, AJ, none of these other players that we, or even five-star skill moves type of player that you kind of need in those situations. So, yeah, it's a huge loss, you know?
Yeah, no, unfortunate, really. Brian Rodriguez, like, he really brought in that creativity desperately needed from that left wing side, you know, someone who really just could dribble the ball and take just really attack full back, get inside, give a nice cross to the box to find someone, or maybe something he'll even take matters into his own hands and create a chance for himself to score. It's unfortunate we did pick up the injury for the second half of last, so you really didn't get to play much. Presence really was missed on the team, but we were still able to get the work done with players that we had at our disposal at the left wing side, whether that be with Cabecita Rodriguez, whether it would be with Chava Reyes playing up there temporarily to fill in the spot. But yeah, no, unfortunate that, you know, his time in America is going to be coming to an end. But I mean, hey, we're getting dough at the end from this, a good amount of money. So I ain't complaining about that. But also just sucks as well that we really don't have anyone at the moment that could replicate what Brian Rodriguez does at that left wing side. So like for America to really find someone now, it's really unlikely. I think what Gibran just confirmed as well, like we're not going to most likely not by anyone. So it's really going to be up to Cabecita and Chava at this point to try their best to do, or if we really need to slot Quiñones right in there. But I don't know. Just it's unfortunate that we're going to just lose Brian Rodriguez, like for this team?
I think we're all like I like planes, just kind of with that tear in our eye and saying, well, it was a good run. It was a good run indeed with wait, sorry, I'm laughing because AP Jr. is saying, or we can buy CR7.
Yo, we don't got that. We don't got that kind of money. So.
We could probably afford his release clause. We just probably can't afford his wages. That's for sure. We would need. I mean, I don't even know what we would need. We would need to get Bimbo to pay for everything that they make, plus Coca-Cola, plus Televisa, just to kind of cover Cristiano Ronaldo for like a year. But. Yeah, if that. So yeah, that's this Brian Rodriguez. When and eventually this becomes official, we'll tweet it out and we'll let you guys know. And unfortunately, well, Brian Rodriguez is leaving. Midwestern Cholo saying they can take Brian Rodriguez, but not Fidalgo. And I think that is a statement that you can attest by, Christian.
Yes. You guys all know how I feel about Fidalgo, right? That's my man right there. And the initial rumors got me thinking that this I may have seen the last of Fidalgo, right? But as new reports show up, it seems like it's closer. It's more 50-50 now rather than last week. I think last week was more about 80-20. And then with new reports surfacing today and yesterday and today, it seems like it dropped down to a little bit of 50-50, right? So we'll see. I'm kind of optimistic that he doesn't go in this market. Like I mentioned in the group chat, I was prepared for his departure in the summer, along with a couple of others. Right, I think in the summer we're gonna see a lot of movements. But I think we need to hold on for Fidalgo, especially if we want to aspire for the B Campeonato and the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah, I would argue he's more detrimental than Brian Rodriguez, which is a huge leap for me to say because I was a huge Brian Rodriguez fan, but just kind of understand that Fidalgo is too pivotal to this side. So, yeah, that's an update on the Fidalgo news. Now, Christian, you mentioned Brian didn't travel. Another player that didn't travel was Sebastian Cáceres. Now, don't worry, alarms aren't necessarily ringing because he's not going to be playing with America ever again. But AJ, looks like he picked up a knock. Let's not forget, he did only play 45 minutes against Querétaro because I think he got stepped on pretty hard. And now he's going to be unavailable due to that injury. But doesn't look like necessarily it's because he's going to be leaving America this transfer window.
Yeah, no. I feel like maybe it's more like of a summer thing. Like, it's inevitable we're going to lose Cáceres, but just not right now. Because right now, I don't really think it's time for America to really be selling, like, more than one player, considering that there's, like, only 8 days left in the transfer window. And luckily, we do have players that can back up at the center-back position, but just, I don't think really just cannot let go of Cáceres right now. The summertime, that's more appropriate, because by then, hopefully, if, you know, by decide to start working immediately, we can then start finding, you know, our replacement for Cáceres. But no, it's unfortunate that we did lose him for this game only, but like it shouldn't be.
No worries. I mean, we have Jonathan Dos Santos. He's gonna play center back. We should be fine.
Facts. Going for the full 90 this time.
How tight would you be if you're Ramon Juarez and you see Jonathan Dos Santos start on Wednesday as center back instead of you?
Yeah, no. Imagine being him or Israel Reyes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would be super upset, but I don't think that's gonna be the case. We'll get to that a little bit later. As far as transfer rumors goes, I think that's the only thing I had on my notes here, which was the Cáceres update, Fidalgo, you mentioned it, and then of course the imminent departure of Brian Rodriguez. Christian, do you see anything else on your spectrum?
No, nothing. Chris mentioned it. It was Zenit that said they were interested in Fidalgo, somewhere around the thing of 7 to 10 million going to America. Seems like Fidalgo doesn't want the move to Russia. So that kind of just, you know, back to what I said about the whole 50-50 thing. So hopefully as the week goes by and the days start being less, it comes back to like 20-80 that he's not leaving and we could all be happy for 6 more months and then start preparing for our sadness in the summer. I'm just saying that, but that's all I have on departures for now. Like Ivan always says, as more information gets to light, follow us on Twitter and we'll keep you updated there. Nothing on arrivals either. I don't think we'll see any arrivals for this for this market. So let's just pray and hope that there are no more departures other than the Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we need. Because really at the start of the season, when they were starting to say that, oh, Medico's starting to shake things up. Players going to be leaving left, right, and center. I was worried. But now we're about 8 days away. If we come back next week and we talk, and we're just a day or two away from the transfer window closing, and we're kind of in the same state, I think we'll be fine. I think we're good. I don't think America would be... I mean, it would take ridiculous amount of money for them to lose someone on the last day. That's all I'm going to say. And if that's the case, then I'm fine, because you got a really good paycheck. Yeah. I mean, you cashed out pretty good. And you can spend that wisely come summer. So, we'll see. But yeah, that's transfer news and updates that we have in regards to America. So, you know, make sure, I know Christian already reiterated this, but follow us on Twitter. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything. And then next week when we come back and talk, hopefully the conversation is the same and nothing too crazy has happened within that time frame. Right, gentlemen, let's talk Doble Jornada. Let's talk Juarez. Why are we playing Jornada 4 before the Jornada 3, gentlemen? Did anyone answer that?
I think it's scheduling issues. I think because we're playing the Champions Cup. I think.
Yeah, it's right? It's
it was kind of just falls into it. So they were like, oh, you have open week. We'll just slot the game in here. I think that's the reason. Don't quote me on that. I'm not trying to spread false information, but I think it
just comes to scheduling issues. Lying to everyone.
I think it's just scheduling issues that's why we're playing Jornada 4 first and then 3 on Saturday.
So look, the interesting thing is, so we have the champions, the CONCACAF, the CONCACAF champions on the 6th of February. And the league itself is playing Jornada 4 next week on the 30th and the 31st. So it doesn't make sense as to why you would slot it there. My thing is, I think they just said, you know what? Why are we going to have so many games bunched up together? Let's just spread it out. Let's have a couple. Because we're not the only ones playing Jornada 4 tomorrow. You have teams. San Luis, Tigres, Monterrey, Querétaro. Teams which in the also, Champions which is, yeah, just reminded me, teams in the Champions League. Why, though? This makes no sense. The rest of the league is playing it on Wednesday and Tuesday of next week. It makes no sense to me, but I mean, I guess that's got to be the reason. You know,
I guess spread it out. One, a couple teams this week, and then a couple teams next week.
Yeah, TV and that's what I'm assuming. That's what I'm assuming. Chris is saying because Mexicans don't know how to count or do math, and G says that is the reason. So, yeah, it might have been someone that just absolutely was like, you know what, bro.
All right, we'll go with that.
Yeah, pretty much, absolutely. And Midwestern Cholo saying the same, you know, why is Chivas not there, though? Because obviously they're playing in the CONCACAF Champions League as well as us. But look, all I'm going to say is this is the most Liga MX thing that is probably going to happen this week. And then it's just the thing, you know, you're going to play Jornada 4. Then Saturday, you're going to play Jornada 3. And somehow we just kind of have to be okay with it. So let's travel into the future, gentlemen, and let's talk Jornada 4. This game is going to be an interesting one. In recent times, AJ, I feel like going to Juarez has never been the best games for America. I'm not to say that we haven't gotten results in that stadium, because we have, right? Obviously, we've won a title there not too long ago, a couple of years back. So it's not the most kind of terrible stadium to go play at, but you look at it and you can see why things get difficult for America. Although this Juarez side, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't loom as strong as maybe as the other ones that we've had to face before. I mean, their star signing lost his wallet and they had to make a flyer about it. So, I mean, that just kind of puts you into state of what this Juarez side is like.
Yeah, no. Just like really looking, there's really no one that doesn't really catch my attention or like see past starting. I mean, there's Hurtado, but he's just not the same player as he was like in his Monterrey days. There's Sebastian Hurtado, but I mean, like, dude just kind of dipped after Veracruz. So, I mean, I'm not really sure about how
he was the goalkeeper when we scored 7, right? So
yeah, so I mean, it's probably the reason why he's over there. But I mean, yeah, I mean, they don't got points in the first 2 games of the season so far. So I mean, but either way, going away at Juarez, I mean, it's never a fun time. You mentioned though, we did get ourselves a chip over there. Well, a trophy. Go by Mekis back in, 2019? It was. But Japan would be a good one, even though it's like at a weird, day of the week on a Wednesday out of all things. Nonetheless, though, should be a good match. We are going to be missing some players, though, for this upcoming match. One of the last Chris mentioned, obviously, that's what we're not going to really have on the left wings. It's more we're going to have to see who we're going to slot in. Probably might see maybe a Chavarrias in that, but hopefully, you know, that make try to get the job done over there at Juarez.
Christian, talk to me about this predicting starting 11 that you got cooking here. Obviously, no Cabecita either. He's still kind of and feeling, trying to get a little bit better from his injury. I think it was, what was it? Sobrecarga muscular. So basically, just did one too many push-ups, and now he has to rest a little bit more. So, no Cabecita Rodriguez. I don't think he was going to slot into the starting 11 either way. But no Sebastian Cáceres as well. So what are you going with if you're hiding there for this game?
See, I'm scared to do these now because, like, if we know tomorrow, he's just going to, like, put out the U23 and then
imagine
like, an idiot again. But considering he doesn't want me to look an idiot, right, I'm just going to go with the safe option here and go that we're going star-studded. So we're going with Malagón in net. The back line will be Kevin Álvarez, Igor Lichnowsky, Ramón Juárez, and Luis Fuentes. In the midfield, Jonathan Dos Santos and Álvaro Fidalgo. On the right wing, we'll have Alejandro Tejas. On the left, we'll have Quiñones. In the middle, Diego Valdez. And up top,
okay, I like it. Again, star-studded, literally rinse and repeat, except with the fact that Cáceres isn't going to be playing.
Right.
Just, so
let the star-studded team get a couple more minutes under their belts, get back into season form, you know, kind of just cement themselves. We'll go out and win the game.
Absolutely.
No trouble, please.
Luis saying, where's Insarulde, by the way?
Insaradios.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a callback that would be. Chris is saying that he would start Chicote instead.
Dude, so, I'm starting to get scared, honestly. This man,
it could happen.
I don't know, man.
I have a feeling he's gonna do it. It's considered double hornada.
It has Chris's nudes or something because this is
he has to at this point.
This is getting out of control, man.
Regardless, it's a good start in 11, and the most important thing that I want to bring up is it feels like this season America is gonna have a lot of games on the road. And on top of that, you're not going to be playing at the Estadio Azteca. So it's going to take a while for your stadium to feel like your new stadium to feel like your new home. So it's going to feel like an away game a couple of times. So I definitely would start the starters, kind of get them together and be like, all right, start getting a sense of what it is to be like on the road and playing. So again, I expect a star-studded squad. Now, do I expect this team to blow Juarez out of the water? Of course. Is that going to happen? Probably not likely, AJ. We saw what happened against Querétaro. Didn't have the best of starts. But I do think that we're going to see a much better América side. Just granted how Juarez is going to be playing against us. I expect them to kind of do what Querétaro did and was sit back, kind of bunch up the midfield, disrupt América's kind of passing, and then kind of see whether or not their wingers are capable of producing anything. So to you, who has to have kind of that big game in order to kind of break down this Juarez defense?
I feel like it's got to be Henry for me this time around. You know, I want to find his goal scoring form again. You know, he's starting again for América. I feel this is like a time, you know, trying to get himself a group of things, starts bagging him some again. He didn't really contribute as much in the last game. He was there, but really wasn't doing as well. So I feel like a perfect game, you know, against a team that's desperate for points, but at the same time, I feel they're just going to try to soak in all of that pressure as much as they can for America. Hopefully try to disrupt any pass they can do in midfield and try to catch them on a counter. But I feel like it's a good time for Henry as well to really, you know, get himself open. America doing what they usually do with the quick passes, you know, short passes, as well as anything that they can do. And I just feel like Henry, it should be the time for him to, you know, bag himself a goal or two to catch himself into the groove of things again. But this is the guy that's gonna be my go-to player for this match.
All right, I like it. Christian, you got a player
I do. I got our number 10. I think our number 10 needs to show up to the game. I think it needs to be the creative outlet. Get Sendejas in scoring positions. Get Henry Martin in scoring positions. Get Quinones in scoring positions, right? Quinones had a good start. Also continue that. But I think Diego Valdez is the one that really needs to be at the head of everything and kind of get the team's offensive juices flowing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Diego Valdez had sparks in the Querétaro game. They kind of died down. And another player for me was Kevin Alvarez. I think he needs to step it up, really, to be honest. He's seen the shadow of himself recently, obviously coming from that injury that kept him out of the Liguilla for quite some time. I just feel like he needs to produce more. We know what he's capable of doing. I know we criticize him heavily sometimes for this defending side of things. I actually think he's gotten a little bit better. It's just the fact that offensively, sometimes he just looks a little bit poor, a little bit kind of one step behind the play. So I wanted to kind of take this opportunity to kind of get back into the rhythm of things and hopefully get to the point where he was the player that we all expected him to be. So it should be an interesting one. AB Jr. kind of gave us his predicting line. He said, anybody but Ochoa. AB Jr. is absolutely ripping me one here, saying that I'm trying to go back to the original comment here. This is going to trigger Ivan, but Oscar Jimenez over Ochoa. So everyone's just trying to come at me for some reason. Why you guys leave Ochoa alone? He's done nothing but give you guys
a debate. We should have like a separate like aside from the weekly podcast. It's like a debate podcast.
We get a debate podcast.
But the question would be like, why does everyone hate Ochoa?
Yeah, no. Or why is Ochoa the best goalkeeper in the world, but no one actually wants to admit it? That would be some podcast, yeah, and I would die on that hill.
The other side, but while I do love Ochoa and respect the crap out of Ochoa, I don't know if I agree with that statement there, buddy.
Hey, don't worry. Give me about 40 minutes. I might be able to change your mind. But yeah, no, that would be interesting to have that debate. Absolutely. AP Jr. saying, I agree with Christian and L take Ivan.
Another debate would be why Vinicius was the perfect backup, but none of you guys will look at that.
No, oh my God.
I'm ready to fight everyone on that one.
He's a one season wonder. It's okay, Christian.
And
he's
I'm ready
move
to
on.
Fight everyone on that one.
You willing to die on that hill?
I'll come prepared. PowerPoint, videos, and everything.
All right. Well, keep an eye out on that, guys, for our heated debates. On the Eagle Eye podcast. Well, gentlemen, give me your predictions for tomorrow's matchup, right? 24 hours away before America ends up going to play at Juarez. What are you guys going with, AJ?
2-1 America.
2-1 America? Okay. I like it. Christian?
Oh,
2-0. Another 2-0. Okay. I like it. See, this game kind of gives me that feeling of it's going to go either a 1-0, kind of like a scrappy 1-0, just a little bit boring, but job gets done. Or I can see America just opening the floodgates and it's like an easily like a 4-1 for America. So I'm just going to go down the middle. I'm just going to go 2-1. So
Juarez is really bad, actually.
Look, that's what I say. No discredit, but I just feel like it can go either way. So their recent game they drew against Cruz Azul.
Mm-hmm. They haven't
then they lost their opener.
They haven't won since October 25th, 2023.
Let's hopefully it's another year before they win. So,
I mean, look, we lost against this squad side last
year. Yeah, season, this is personal because
exactly.
Literally put Chamacos on the pitch only for us to then just lose the game ball because of that stuff.
Imagine if America's winning like 3-0 and then. And then Hayden is like, all right, all the U23s, just gear up. You're going out there.
Yeah.
And kind of get your vindication.
And then we bottled it
4-3. 4-3, we lose.
Everyone's about to put the hashtag Fuera Jardine at that point. Like, yeah, it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Chris saying he's going with a 1-0 for America. Louis going with the 4-0. Very, very adamant there. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. We all love goals, and I think this America side has abundance of them. But like you mentioned, Christian, they need to be clinical. They need to kind of take a little bit more shots and put themselves in more of scoring positions and taking the chances, really, because all of you guys already know how I feel about Quinones. I'm not going to talk about it. The fact that, yeah, I feel like he just loves to miss rather than to score. Yeah, exactly.
Quinones is a bust.
Yeah, no, because he is.
Even though he
gave us the title, right? But AJ, you mentioned it too. Henry, I think, you know, he needs to put himself in those positions as well. Not to say that he had a bad game against Querétaro, because I think they just kind of neutralized him. But it's about those opportunities and kind of learning and because at one point, a lot of these teams are going to understand how you play. And if they're like, oh, you just got to throw 2-3 defenders on him and he's going to be neutralized. Like, you got to find ways around that to kind of still be a threat. And the same goes with Diego Valdez, right? He's got a great right foot. Like, he's got to take more shots, in my opinion. But yeah, we'll see what happens. We got more predictions here. AP Jr. saying 3-2. Okay. All right. Goal galore. I like it. Well, not really, actually. I would hate a 3-2. G going with a 3-1. And then Chris is saying 1-0. Emma Aguilar and we lift the Copa MX. Yeah, absolutely. I think, Chris, you traveled back in time to the wrong podcast.
That was a scary game.
I like Planes.
That win was crazy.
It was, absolutely. I like Planes saying 3-1 with error in defense. I definitely see that happening. But not by Ramon Juarez, though. He's, like I mentioned, give him his flowers in the games that he played. Solid. Absolutely solid. Yeah. But yeah, anything else you guys want to add up in regards to this game against FC Juarez?
We better win.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't go that far to say that, but I did mention it last week. It was important that America racks up the points early on because these are quote-unquote favorable, winnable games, and you can't give yourself the luxury to drop points against these teams when later down in the season you're going up against, you know, your quote-unquote rival contenders, and you know you're having to be like, all right, I need to kind of get these victories away on the road, which is difficult. So give yourself that cushion, that way you can kind of focus on CONCACAF Champions League, and things just kind of flow as we expect them to be. So, should be interesting. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think that pretty much wrapped it up, no?
I think so.
I mean, we do have things backed up, but that's like, you know,
because it's Saturday.
I mean,
that's Saturday. We're all thinking probably still going to go with the star-studded 11, Tawas Calientes. We'll see how that one goes as well. It's always one of those things that's difficult to kind of predict ahead of time. But we'll be back next week. We'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about Necaxa, how things went in regards to that aspect. Talk about Juarez. And we'll talk about the upcoming games.
Camera quality, Ivan. What camera do you use?
I use my Canon M50.
Ah, the Canon. That's why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a tricky setup. You gotta run two wires and cables, and
I'll stick with my Logitech webcam.
Fine. There you go.
Maybe upgrade the mic a little bit, but not what we're sticking with.
I definitely gotta get a mic. So gonna make that.
I'm gonna make upgrades.
I mean, I think a moderate mic would be like $80.
Close to 100. We live in a day and age where you got some really good quality stuff out here for less than $100. So.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe the Eagle Eye Pocket can like supply some supplies.
Yeah, we'll talk to our accountant, which is just Dylan. So we'll see if he's Cowboy Dan. It can we can split it one way or another. So. Ooh, I'm sure he's willing to cover it. He's fine. He's got one in.
You know who would cover this? Federico V.
Oh, yeah.
He would cover
it. Oh, my God. Well, with the money he was making in America, yeah, definitely. Well, I don't think he's making that same money at León. But all righty then. Okay, gentlemen, I think that does it for us here. We bored these people enough. Hopefully you guys were able to answer the bonus question. If you guys haven't, I'll put it on one more time in the chat so you guys have that. Question will be up for another hour or so. So if you guys haven't done so, answer the question. We'll post the leaderboard again next week. New question will drop on Thursday. So make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter. Like again, mentioned, this is going to be a lot of fun throughout the season. So should be fun, should be good. And yeah, well, I like plain saying goodnight. Good night to you, my good sir. Good night to everyone, really. Actually, you guys did an amazing job. Love hearing from you guys, whether it's Louis, Chris, AP Jr., Midwestern Cholo, G. I mean, all of you guys, thank you so much, Ricardo. It's great. It's great hearing from you guys. Great seeing you guys. So again, thank you so much. Thank you, AJ. Thank you, Christian. Hopefully you guys are staying warm out there in the cold, cold New York night.
I'll try my best.
Absolutely. All right, then. Well, thank you guys. Keep up to date with everything on Twitter. We'll be back next week. Talk all things Club America. Be safe. Stay warm. And as always, Arriba en America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.